Hello, and welcome to another edition of the Lyricord Early and Classical Music Podcast Show. I'm Nick Fritsch, president of Lyricord Discs. My usual co-host, Jeffrey Dooley, is not here today. He's off making the world safer for the countertenor range. But in any case, I thought we would do something a little different today. One of our artists on both the Lyricord Early Music series and our Lyricord Classical label is the incomparable lutenist and guitarist, Jerry Willard. And he is a lutenist, Baroque guitarist, modern guitarist, and he's really an extraordinary musician. Jerry has a terrific album out on the Lyricord Early Music series called Jerry Willard's Night at the Opera, in which he performs 19th century transcriptions of opera pieces by Rossini, Bellini, and Verdi, and it's really stellar. In fact, we're going to do a whole show about that album. But in the meantime, some time ago now, we released an album of Jerry Willard performing his own arrangements of George Gershwin pieces that he transcribed for guitar. At the time this album was released, folk, jazz, and blues music critic and teacher Mark Greenberg did an interview with Jerry for his series called Sidetracks, and we're going to play that today. And early music fans, don't despair, because there's also a few tidbits of arch lute and baroque guitar for you guys as well. So I'm going to give it over to Mark Greenberg and Jerry Willard.
Welcome to Sidetracks. I'm Mark Greenberg. Today, a visit with classical guitarist and lutenist Jerry Willard. That's I've Got Rhythm from Jerry Willard's CD, That Certain Feeling, a collection of George Gershwin songs arranged for classical guitar. Jerry has been performing as a classical guitarist and lutenist since he was 18, both solo and with various ensembles. He also teaches classical guitar at the Stony Brook campus of the State University of New York. Jerry began playing guitar as a teenager on a northwestern Ohio farm.
I was born in northwestern Ohio on a farm, and I'd gone through many different instruments, a lot of wind instruments. I wanted to be in the band. I wanted to play the piano, and none of them stuck. I would try them, and I wouldn't really be able to stick with it. And I was convinced I had no musical talent at all. And it seemed like most of my teachers thought the same thing.
What happened to change that?
My father was a guitarist, and I remember I would oftentimes open up the guitar case and strum the open strings. So one day I asked him to teach me, and he very begrudgingly said, all right, he would teach me, knowing that I probably wouldn't last. I stuck with it, and I kept working on it, and probably in about 3 months, I really realized that this is what I was going to do for the rest of my life. I totally connected with it, and I don't know why. Perhaps it was the sound. Perhaps it didn't seem so threatening. I liked very much the idea that I could carry the guitar with me, so I could take it outside, I could take it to my room, and it seemed to open up a whole world of ideas for me that I wasn't able to explore with other instruments. Now, my father was a jazz guitar player, a semi-professional player. He used to play in some square dances and some nightclubs. And in those days, he would play the chords, and he would teach me the tune. So one of my first tunes I learned was Some of These Days. Some of these days, you're gonna miss me, honey. And so I'd learned that song. It was all by rote. He showed me how to play it, and then I would repeat whatever he showed me. And then I would learn the chords, and he would play the tune. And so that's the way that we related. So that was my experience with that instrument. I was, of course, very interested in the music of my generation, the Everly Brothers, which I loved, and all that sort of quasi-rock/country music. And so I did my best to learn tunes like Wake Up Little Susie and all those hits from that period. So I bought my first electric guitar, which is a little K electric, and I learned to play that.
What led you from the Everly Brothers to classical guitar?
A man came to the house. It was a traveling salesman. Knothendore had heard that my father and I played guitar, and he came in with a classical, and he sat down and he played a little tiny piece by Fernando Sor. And I'll never forget, it absolutely blew my mind, because he was a guy that could play the melody and the accompaniment at the same time, and that was it. I was totally sold. And after that, I gave up the electric and went totally into classical. And for many years, I played that on steel strings. I had no idea how you're really supposed to play it.
How did you find out otherwise?
It became apparent then that I was pretty talented at this. So my father looked around for some good teachers and found Sophocles Pappus in Washington, D.C. And he was one of Segovia's proteges. We wrote to Pappus, and he accepted me as a student. And I went down, this is my first exposure to really good guitar playing. One of the people that used to come in before me in my lesson was Charlie Byrd. So it was an amazing experience for a young 16-year-old kid, and I was just in awe.
Had you been listening to classical guitarists, Segovia, I assume?
Segovia, and also Julian Bream. Segovia, I mean, I've always loved him, but Julian Bream was a passion, brought out the passion in me, because Segovia always, to me, seemed like someone that represented the right way of doing things and someone that you had to sort of do what he said. So it was a bit rigid. And when Julian Bream came along, he was a young man with a big shock of black hair, very handsome, looked like James Bond. And he played with such passion. And that was a further opening up to me that was yet another way to do it. And so I, of course, began to emulate that. Probably the other thing that was very important for me, I think, in development-wise, and something I feel really blessed, was I moved to Michigan, and I fell into a bunch of musicians. There was a man there who was Matt Mishikoff, who was the son of Misha Mishikoff, and who was a violinist, a very famous violinist, and he was known as one of the great concert masters. Now, I would have never, as an 18-year-old child, had access to someone like that. But because I knew his son, and we played duets together, his son was a guitarist, I had that opening. And that opened up yet another idea for me about looking at music in a new way, sort of outside the guitar field.
You've performed as both a guitarist and lutenist with ensembles, as well as a soloist, right?
That's right. I've worked with all kinds of groups. Probably the most recent group I've worked with has been the Queen's Chamber Band with Elaine Comperoni, who's a harpsichordist who started that and runs it. And in the context of that, I would play all kinds of instrumental roles. I have a Baroque guitar also. And that really fits into a continuo kind of role. Continuo meaning playing the chords while the pieces are going along. The Baroque guitar is a much smaller than the modern guitar. Essentially, there's very little bass to the instrument. It's mostly treble strings. So when you strike it, it's quite strident, and it will cut right through an orchestra. So when you're strumming chords in a piece, like, for instance, one of the pieces we did was the Bach Fifth Brandenburg Concerto, where the harpsichord has a huge part. And the Baroque guitar, I was basically chunking the chords, and it makes it sound a little bit more bawdy. It has a little bit more of like, this sounds more like dance music. And so in a sense, it really adds a different approach to it that you wouldn't get otherwise. That's been probably my main influence, that group. I work with them for the last 10 years.
Why don't we stop here and listen to Jerry Willard performing on the Baroque guitar, two movements from Suite in A Minor by Johann Anton Lozzi from his Lyricord Early Music Series album entitled The Baroque Guitar. Thank you.
Jerry Willard. You've played in some pretty prestigious halls, Carnegie Hall, Alice Tully That's Hall right. at Lincoln Center.
That's right, yeah. And those have been both in solo capacities and with chamber groups also. Yeah, and you know, it's always tricky because when you've never played a hall, it takes a while to get used to it. And I know Alice Tully can look awfully large the first time you walk out on stage. But you know, once you start playing, it gets a lot easier. It's more the anticipation that's the problem. Alice Tully is a really fine hall. Carnegie Hall is a beautiful hall, lovely hall. Thanks to Isaac Stern for saving that hall for us.
When did you move from playing other people's transcriptions, that is, their arrangements of other composers' work, to doing your own arranging?
I started transcribing almost right away. I wanted to have control over what was going on. I didn't want to have somebody else do it. And actually, I advise my students to do the same thing. Even with my own transcriptions, I say, don't be scared to change that. Look at the original and make whatever changes you have to. It's like anything, transcription, as you get better at it, the more you do it, and you learn tricks. And you also learn, I think, and I think this is also a matter of age, I think, too, that you learn what should be transcribed and what shouldn't. I think some pieces one should just leave alone. Because I think a piece like, say, the Goldberg Variations by Bach are best listened to on the harpsichord. I don't want to hear a guitar player do it. Even if they're able to do it, it becomes kind of a trick. It's like a part of a circus act or something. And I think that if you're going to say something about a piece, you need to be able to say something more deeply about that piece. So when I hear this, I say, oh, that's another, I never thought about that with that piece. That's a new thought, a new concept. And I don't think the fact that I can play it is enough. I think I have to do more than that.
Before we hear Jerry Willard play his own transcriptions of George Gershwin, let's hear him perform J.S. Bach on the guitar's older cousin, the archlute. Jerry is equally as virtuosic a lutenist as he is a guitarist, as is evidenced in his performance of two movements of J.S. Bach's Suite No. 1, BWV 996, the Gigue and the Bourré movements, and these are from the album Jerry Willard Plays, Four Centuries of Lute and Guitar. Thank you.
Jerry Willard. Why did you choose Gershwin as opposed to Irving Berlin or Jerome Kern or any of the others whose songs make up the so-called Great American Songbook?
Yeah. With Gershwin, he's much more of a composer. He wasn't just a songwriter. So I think the way his music comes out is much more compositionally based. So it made it a lot easier to transcribe and play it in such a way that it would hold up on a concert stage. I wanted something I could play. And so it has to be something that's strong enough musically that it's going to stand up. Plus, we have all his arrangements that he did and the piano roles that he did. So that gives me a lot of material that I can draw from so I can really get the sound that he would have done it with.
Let's talk about your Gershwin arrangements.
Yeah.
Some of the songs, Summertime, I've Got Rhythm, are familiar standards, but others are more obscure.
That's right.
How did you decide what to include?
I had looked for songs that I felt really worked well on the instrument. And again, I wanted to pick things that really sounded like it belonged on the guitar. One of the interesting things about Gershwin is he really comes from a ragtime tradition. So his first composition, Rialto Ripples, if you hear that, it's really like ragtime, a bit abstracted because he's now taking it to a new level. So I say that because I wanted to get the sense on some of, especially those old tunes like Scandal Walk and Idle Dreams. I wanted to get a sense of a stride bass like the piano would do. And the guitar could do that on those, and I could have that happening. Other times it wouldn't work. I mean, one of the problems of this was Gershwin was a virtuoso pianist. Unlike other ones like, say, Jerome Kern or Irving Berlin, Gershwin could really play. And so sometimes it's hard to take what he's playing and put that on the guitar. And I want to make it clear about this album, too. I was not trying on this to do so much of a jazz style. I wanted to do something that was traditional of the period. So in a sense, I'm approaching a little bit more like a classical guitarist would. But I wanted to sound, I wanted to have Gershwin's harmonies, especially chromatic harmonies happening.
What was the most challenging about arranging Gershwin songs for classical guitar?
Yeah. One of the difficulties of transcribing something is that if the gesture of the piece is simple at that moment, what you're transcribing has to sound simple. So you can't be juggling a plate and swallowing a sword and acting like nothing's wrong. And so you have to, when you're transcribing it, that has to be kept in mind so that if that part of the piece is supposed to sound simple, then you're going to have to do something that's simple. Now, sometimes in these, I could actually take exactly what Gershwin had written and with some tweaking, put it on the guitar. Other times I couldn't. I had to get the gesture of that and say, well, on the piano, he does this, which is very pianistic. I've got to do something on the guitar that would be the equivalent idea to get the same gesture.
Can you think of a particular song or place in a song that illustrates that?
Yeah, there's an area in Do 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 in the second section. There's a huge flourish all over the place with the piano. So I basically try to pull out the essence of that, which is, I think, a big flourish in 16th notes and very chromatic, which in the guitar is very hard to do. I mean, even if you could do it, it would be outside the genre. It really, ideally, should sound like anybody could do it, if you're really doing it right. So I wound up doing a whole arpeggio in triplets that accomplish the same thing. It has to be something, you know, like with those Fred Astaire movies, you know, where he suddenly will turn and he'll look and he'll do this little tap dance away that's so simple. It looks so beautiful and easy. That can't look hard. So when I'm playing that part, whatever it is, it can't sound hard to play. It's got to sound easy. So I've got to do something that either is easy or something that I can do easily. You know, so that was largely a lot of the challenge for the transcriptions.
Here's Jerry playing Gershwin's Do 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 and Someone to Watch Over Me.
Thank you.
Well, let's take a break and then we can come back and play some more.
Listen to what critics are saying about Jerry Willard's three outstanding recordings on Lyricord. About Jerry Willard plays, four centuries of lute and guitar. Unquestionable technical skill and superiority. Sparkling and entertaining, The New York Times. Displaying his talents on arch lute, Baroque guitar, 19th century guitar, and our modern guitar all within 60 minutes. Clearly a talented player, Willard weaves his way through this music with great sensitivity. Guitar Review magazine. And of the Baroque guitar, Peter Graham Wolfe of Musical Pointers says, a delightful selection of music for his Baroque guitar, played with engaging flair and recorded with immediacy. American Record Guide exclaims, Willard's approach to this music is elegant and graceful. If you enjoy the subtle charms of the Baroque guitar, this program is a delight. And about That Certain Feeling, Willard's recording of Gershwin masterpieces, James Mannheim of the All Music Guide says, Willard's transcriptions are technically complex, free in rhythm, and evocative of improvisation, an unusual tour through Gershwin's hits with a consistently high level of playing. Guitar Magazine calls this release a beautifully crafted and inspired record full of the effortless charm and character one associates with Gershwin's music. And Jerry Willard's Night at the Opera, featuring instrumental transcriptions for guitar from the world's best-loved operas. All available on CD or for download from www.lyricord.com. Order the complete collection of Jerry Willard's recordings today.
We're back now on the Lyricord Early and Classical Music Podcast.
One of the things that people, often jazz musicians, say when they hear a non-jazz musician playing is, where's the swing? Where's the jazz feel? What's your response to that?
That's a very interesting question, because there's nothing worse oftentimes than hearing a classically trained person try to play swing. I think in my case that I think my background, because I'm from that background with my father, that's helped enormously with this, because I really cut my teeth on this music, and I've always loved it. And a lot of the music of Gershwin is not entirely jazz in the way we think about it now. It's much more classically based, a lot like ragtime was, where it's not really, if you're going to do it historically, authentically, it's not right to swing ragtime. You're supposed to play it right in rhythm. And the composers make it very clear to that effect, that we want it exactly in rhythm. Don't swing it and don't play it fast. So a lot of the Gershwin has that too, where we're dealing mostly with more with show tunes than you are this kind of swinging thing. And it's very, very tricky, because you want to give a sense of the period, and yet at the same time, you don't want it to sound stuffy. It's got to have that American thing, that elan, that's so easygoing.
Why did you choose That Certain Feeling for the title song?
One, I really like that song, and it's not too well known, and I thought it would make a nice title for the CD. And the arrangement, I felt, was a really good one, and it's not too, dynamically, it's not a very strong piece. It's a little bit more of a laid-back feel, and I thought it would be a nice piece to introduce the album. Thank you.
Do you have a favorite song on the CD?
That Certain Feeling is one. I like Looking for a Boy. I think it's a really beautiful tune. My Man's Gone Now is one that's not done much. That was one of the most difficult pieces to do, mainly because that one is really an operatic tune from Porgy and Bess, and it stretches the voice, and it modulates to all sorts of keys, and it's hard to keep it together. Plus, the dynamic range of the song is really big, but I think it works. That one, in my opinion, stretches the guitar to its limit. It's why this CD was such a fun one. I did the arrangements 2 years ago, and then I recorded it last summer. So it's been a real journey with this music, and it's been really fun. And I love in Gershwin the sense of humor in his music. That's one of the parts that I found so interesting. And part of my goal with the guitar was to capture that humor.
What's an example of that humor?
Lady Be Good. In the last section, Gershwin drops it a half step, and it's such a surprise that it makes you smile. And there's a number of pieces that do that on the album. One of the biggest challenges about this music, it's really vocal music, actually. So you've got words. And, of course, words would make it a lot easier. With the words, you'd really get the joke. So you have to figure out some way to get to say the joke, but without using words. And that's also tricky.
What was your approach to Summertime, a song that's been played and arranged so many times?
Yeah. I wanted to do something where really the melody itself was a pronounced melody. I wanted to do it the way that Gershwin would have thought of it on the guitar. So it was a little bit challenging for that reason. But you know, most of the arrangement for that comes right off the piano vocal, which is quite extensive. It's an operatic tune, so there's quite a bit going on in it. I had a little trouble with the ending. I remember that. I had to do quite a bit of work on that because I wanted to get these block chords moving in that kind of slow, bluesy way. And they're such beautiful chords, and I couldn't get them all. So again, the problem with the guitar is that you have to get the essence of it and just the right herb to stick in there to make the chord sound right. So it's challenging. So you go over it and over it till you seem to get something that you like. But that one was an especially challenging one.
And that's because the guitar, with only 6 strings, is much more harmonically limited than the piano?
Exactly. That's right. And so you can't do everything. I'm a great believer that it's got to sound right on the instrument. I'm not from the idea that I'm going to stretch the instruments beyond its bounds. That's not my job. I want to get something where the instrument is, as I said before, when someone's listening to it, they think, oh, that sounds exactly right. Sounds like a guitar playing that. I don't want them to feel like, gee, only one person in the world can ever play that. I don't want that, but I want to get something that really expresses the music.
Tell me about Sweet and Lowdown.
Sweet and Lowdown is a real jazz tune, and it's got that sort of 1920s sound where you just expect to see a bunch of flappers walk out on stage. And that was an especially challenging one, and one of my favorites, too. And also, I think one of the more difficult ones to play. I had to really work on it, partly because of the way the accompaniment figures works. You've got sort of a dotted eighth and sixteenth figure, ba-bump, 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 and that has to go all the way through. So it's very tricky on the guitar to have that going, plus all the melodic figures too.
Let's talk a bit about the recording process. You recorded this at home directly onto your computer, just you, a microphone, and the computer?
Yeah. Yes, I have a house in Mooresville, Vermont, and there are two rooms upstairs. I put the guitar and the microphone and a preamp in one room, and I ran cables into the other room with the computer, and I would just turn it on and go in. And it was tough. I mean, sometimes a truck would go by and that would stop it. And plus, it's a tin roof on the house. So in the heat of the day, the roof would crackle. And if it rained, you couldn't do it at all. You know, it would sound like you were in a popcorn popper. So it was a very slow process. And so I spent about 3 weeks recording and then about the same time editing. And I worked on it very slowly and came up with a product. So I'm really happy that it was able to work out. Actually, it was my first effort. One of the problems of doing it on your own is, I think part of being in the arts and part of being in the music business is almost by definition, you're a perfectionist. And that is a blessing and a curse. And the problem, the curse part of it, is that you work on it forever. And there has to come a point when you're looking at something and saying, this is done. And that's always hard. And I was aware of that when I started the project. And I did that. And I said, this is now done. I'm going to put it aside to stop that tendency to want to keep tinkering with it. And the other problem, of course, of doing a project like this is it's so all-consuming that finally when it's over with, the last thing you want to hear is that CD because you've spent your whole time doing it and you need to get away from it just to get a break. I listened to it last week. It sounded good. I liked it. But that's after not listening to it for about 3 months.
Is there anything else you'd like to add, Jerry?
One thing that's interesting about the CD, it was recorded on the guitar that my father and I bought for me when I was 16 years old. And I still play that instrument. It's made by Francisco Fernandez, a Spanish guitar, in 1960. And I love the instrument because it has a lot of character. And it's not the loudest guitar, but it's got a lot of character and a lot of tonal color in the instrument. And also a very good line. It's got that Spanish thing. The wonderful thing about Spanish guitars is their sense of melodic line is so good. And this has that. So it's really interesting at this point to have used that same instrument for this project.
I've been speaking with classical guitarist Jerry Willard. His CD of classical guitar arrangements of Gershwin songs is That Certain Feeling on Lyricord Discs. I'm Mark Greenberg for Sidetracks. Thanks for stopping by, Jerry.
My pleasure. Thank you very much.
Program copyright 2010, Lyricord Discs, all rights reserved.